Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. On the eve of Benedict XVI's birthday, the Archbishop of Liverpool, Patrick Kelly, came round to the radio and sat down with me in our studios here. He shared with me some thoughts relating to the pontificate of Benedict XVI. Stay tuned. Benedict XVI is very clear about what he believes in. Would you say that's a hallmark of his pontificate?
It is. Some of them said it's a double quality, I think. And I've been privileged to meet him over the years. Before he was Pope, I used to come every year with Cardinal Murphy O'Connor. We used to come once a year as President and Vice President of our conference. So I've met him a lot over the years. And I think somebody put it beautifully, and they said he is serene in his faith and in his theology, which means that it doesn't matter what question he issues, he never starts fearful about where it may lead. I would say that the two beautiful books, Jesus of Nazareth, the spirit, for example, in which he ends the dialogue with the rabbi, and the rabbi remains, as he says, with the first Israel, leaves without rancour, which is a sign of the power of reconciling love. That is very special, to be able to have a dialogue which doesn't end in total agreement, parting, if you like, of a certain level, but without rancour. And that's a sign of reconciling love. That is a very precious gift we've been given. And I'm a member of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. And I think that serenity does prepare the ground for the very challenging dialogues which we are going to need, not least with the Muslim world. But we do it from the serenity of the confidence, not only I know what the church teaches, but the serenity of saying I've never run away from a question about the truth, who is the Lord.
Is it too strong a statement then to say that he's a man without doubts?
I think doubt is a very strange word, because doubt means that I'm never going to face a question which I've never thought of. And I think one security is the security of saying I've got all the answers. The second is I've got asked all the questions. The third, the real one, is I've never run away from a question. Therefore, I need never fear a new question, because all the ones that have come my way, I've not stifled them, I've not run away from them, I've wrestled with them until I find the light. And I think that there's very much the feel of Cardinal Newman, whom, of course, the Holy Father beatified. The feeling Cardinal Newman's writings, I think, is whenever you wrestle with a question to the end, you never find you're at the end with darkness. You may still be aware there's a journey ahead, but it's still a light which is going to lead me on, that famous line of Cardinal Newman, "Lead, kindly light, lead thou me on the distant scene I do not ask to see." I think that's the spirit.
Here at the radio, we read a lot of his homilies and speeches, yes. Most of them. And the feeling is that very often the media at large pick up on what they consider the newsworthy stories, whereas if you actually look at his speeches or his homilies, there's a lot of hidden information there.
Oh, I think a very beautiful one as well. I think, in a way, one of the challenges of our time, and we're addressing it, it was interesting how, in the name of the Pontifical Council, I went to a meeting in Doha, which was about the role of the new media in the Arab Spring, however we wish to call it. And it became a much broader issue about the role of the modern media. It tends to be soundbites. And you cannot use soundbites for the big issues. And the phrase I always dread is the word relevant. Relevant, if we're not very careful, means I will only attend to that which immediately concerns me here and now. That's the road to death. That's the road to absolute time. I always think of Dickens' description of Scrooge, solitary and self-contained as an oyster. If I define that which I will read or watch or listen to by whether it's relevant for me here and now, that's disaster. And it's rather like, I think, some of the debates we've had about the New English Missal. People have said the sentences are long. I've realised if we learn to pray them, well, real prayer cannot be a soundbite. It must introduce you, even if it's only for the brief set length of a prayer, into a journey, not just present you with hard, cold analysis, but it must always have an openness to it. And the longer sentences, it's interesting how in English we use the word a period. The old word for a sentence was a period. It's got time to it. It doesn't just be one word. And I think the writings and the homilies of the Holy Father, they are wondrously simple, but they're always a journey.
Right from the start.
Yes.
Right from the start. Right. He has this image of the desert, right?
That's not the opening homily.
It's extraordinary.
And also the simplicity of imagery, looking at the desert, and they said that, which I've never heard anything, if you like, so anthropomorphic about the Trinity. The Son of God leapt to his feet.
In the first.
The first homily. And you think, that's a beautiful image. You've got the image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit sitting comfortably home. The Son says, Father, I'm off, and leaps to his feet. It's a beautiful image, and it's so daring.
Something that people can do when they really know their subject.
Exactly.
But at this point, why don't we listen to a passage from the Pope's homily on that occasion that's recorded was the 24th of April 2005, and the place was St. Peter's Square. We can listen to the Pope's voice in Italian and then have a translation in English.
L'umanità, noi tutti, è la piccola smarrita che nel deserto non trova più la strada.
The human race, every one of us, is the sheep lost in the desert, which no longer knows the way. The Son of God will not let this happen. He cannot abandon humanity in so wretched a condition. He leaps to his feet and abandons the glory of heaven in order to go in search of the sheep and pursue it all the way to the cross.
Balza in piedi, abbandona la gloria del cielo per ritrovare la pecorella e inseguirla fin sulla croce. La carica.
He takes it upon his shoulders and carries our humanity. He carries all of us. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep.
Egli è il buon pastore che offre la sua vita per le pecore.
Having mentioned this passage, I'd now like to move on to a Pope's pastoral visit to Turin in May of 2010, an occasion in which he venerated the Holy Shroud and gave a meditation. But I'll let you pinpoint the exact passage.
The negative and positive, the mystery that this shroud, which what we see is the result of photographing a negative. And the shroud is a negative in one level, and yet it shines with the positive.
Che la Sacra Sindone si comporta come un documento fotografico dotato di un positivo e di un negativo.
The Holy Shroud acts as a photographic document with both a positive and a negative. And in fact, this is really how it is. The darkest mystery of faith is at the same time the most luminous sign of a never-ending hope.
Nello stesso tempo il segno più luminoso di una speranza che non ha confini.
It's rather like the person of culture when the Synod on the Holy Land, when we had the Verdi Requiem in the audience hall, and he spoke about the Verdi Requiem at the end. Many of us said, well, wouldn't it be good if he played the whole thing again, now that we know what it's about?
He has a great understanding of music.
Great understanding. And certainly, I mean, this very day in Easter week, the gospel of the catch of fishes of our Lord risen from the dead, 153 big fish, and the net was not broken. And I remember his homily on the day of the receiving the pallium, when he said, but sadly, the net is broken now.
It was at the end of that homily, and I have the translation of the text in Italian here, in which, as you just mentioned, he says, and the account of the 153 large fish ends with the joyful statement, although there were so many, the net was not torn. Alas, beloved Lord, with sorrow we must now acknowledge that it has been torn, but no, we must not be sad. I thought it was worth reading those precise words.
And that's how described the fractured nature of Christians. But we will not be sad. The Lord will gather us. And to be able to mention a great sadness and then in the same breath say, but we will not be sad, must lift people up.
And warm thanks there to the Archbishop of Liverpool, Patrick Kelly, for sharing with us these thoughts. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.